The word conflict is defined as an internal mental or spiritual struggle. Conflict also means to be in opposition or at variance with something.
How did we get into this difficult situation? And why have we been placed in this seemingly impossible position? Is it a punishment? Or does our current life, in fact, offer us an escape route?
Hello and welcome, wherever you are in the world. Today we share the introductory presentation to our latest public talk. Every month, we explore a different aspect of the universal wisdom through a series of weekly webinars on Zoom. For more information about our events, follow the links in the written description below. We hope that our podcast will provide you with food for thought, inspiration for new questions, and impulses in your research for new answers.
The idea that the human being is engaged in an inner conflict may come as a surprise to some. If we examine our existence from a macrocosmic viewpoint, we will find that in this region of the cosmos, the seventh cosmic domain, the physical world with its visible and invisible spheres, we experience an existence that is characterized by conflict. There is a constant interplay between pairs of opposites, and these pairs of opposites are merely two poles of the same attribute. For example, hot and cold are opposite extremes of an attribute that we call temperature. The eternal microcosm, the small world that generates the human personality, also has its share of inner conflicts. And that's because the microcosm itself is separated from its original divine environment and wrestles with the constantly changing nature of the physical world. The original soul being of the microcosm is still aware of its divine origins. The original soul being of the microcosm is encapsulated within the spirit spark atom. This divine atom, also known as the rose of the heart, is located in the mathematical center of the microcosm, which roughly coincides with the upper right portion of the physical human heart. The spirit spark atom is a divine remnant, a divine seed, if you will, that carries within it all of the attributes, powers, and capabilities of the original divine human being. It contains everything that the human personality needs to return to its former divine state. Our microcosms have learned to adapt to the laws of the physical world. But what we as microcosmic personalities consider to be normal behavior is actually quite abnormal. And because the memory of our former divine existence remains alive in our spirit spark atom, the divine part of us is always at a variance with the consciousness of the earthly personality. We as earthly personalities, generated by our fallen microcosms, react to perceived external impacts in the following manner. When something happens that is agreeable to us, then we are happy, and we characterize that thing as good. We then seek to acquire more of that good thing. Then when something happens to us that we as personalities don't happen to like, we characterize that thing as bad and seek to repel it in some way. Every moment of our lives, we are engaged in making these evaluations, and this causes us to oscillate between the twin poles of the tree of good and evil. When the results of our experiences are bad, so-called, we wonder why things don't ever work in our favor. We ask ourselves, why can't we ever be happy? As personality beings, one of our faults is that we do not understand or recognize the temporary, changeable nature of this physical domain. We are not fully aware that everything here, everything, is subject to change, is subject to rising, shining, and fading. Also, this conflict is not one of words or fists. It is a conflict of competing vibrations. Let's talk about vibration for a moment. There is a divine vibration of an extremely high frequency that is the inheritance of the spirit spark atom. The power of the spirit spark atom is muffled by the low frequency vibrations of the physical world. And because of this, the human being finds it very difficult to respond to the call that emanates constantly from what we call the rose of the heart. This results in an inner frustration that we can't explain. We diligently try to make a home of the material world and an eternal paradise of the invisible half of the material world, the reflection sphere. But both efforts are doomed to failure because things of lasting permanence are not possible here. Whenever we encounter opposition to our wishes and desires, frustration builds up inside within us and we lash out. We experience conflicts that we don't truly understand because we do not recognize their origins. It is this inner disquiet that disturbs us when we encounter resistances in this world. In essence, we are divine microcosms whose consciousness has fallen into a temporary physical domain of an extremely low frequency. Our consciousness is no longer able to perceive and function in the extremely high frequencies of our former divine nature and can only perceive and function in this low frequency physical realm. In order to begin to approach a solution to the conflict, we must learn and accept that we exist in a temporary realm where nothing is lasting. Such a realization will require that we abandon our preconceived notions about the physical world and understand that our purpose in life is not to create a heaven on earth. This letting go of our illusory dreams of permanent happiness and eternal life in a temporary world is one of the most difficult parts of this process of divine rebirth. Many do not acknowledge the temporary nature of the physical world, even though the evidence is all around us and is presented to us every single minute of the day. It's not as if we ignore it. It's more like we refuse to acknowledge it. Everything in this world begins to deteriorate as soon as it is generated or created. And if we take the time to contemplate this, we will find that it is true. We look to preserve and prolong things, but that's not enough for the personality being us as human personalities. We want to hold on to temporary things and possess them forever, which is not possible. Thus, there exists a constant struggle between what we desire and what we require. And this is one of the sources of our inner conflict.
How did we get into this difficult situation? And why have we been placed in this seemingly impossible position? Is it a punishment? Or does our current life, in fact, offer us an escape route? We may not even think about why we're here on Earth, but I think the fact that we're all here today, it shows that we do think of that. Or we may think that our experience has a profound meaning. The universal wisdom has always been available to humanity at all times, in all places, in all cultures, in order to provide a way back, to show possibilities to return to our original home in the divine world, the eternal source, the essence of which we have that last remnant in our heart, in our spirit spark. So we are actually here in this world of opposites in order to have the opportunity to return to the essence. We are fallen microcosms, as was said, and another way to express that is that we have made choices in favor of our egocentric desires instead of in favor of the spirit spark atom, that small voice in our heart that is always trying to give us, make us recognize it and give it a voice. So it sounds very dramatic, that as if we've made a big choice in this matter, but it's not. It's like water dripping on a stone. It's something that happens very gradually over time. And we've been making these decisions in large ways and in small ways for thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years, not us personally, but the personalities that have inhabited our microcosm over the millennia, really. And so that's what has made our karma. And it's not good karma or bad karma, but it's simply experience as attachment, as attraction or aversion to certain people or events or situations or places in our lives. And we find ourselves continuously confronted with these different situations and people in order to give us the opportunity to neutralize our attachment to them, to allow us to listen to the rose heart, to the spirit spark. So if we accept these situations or these people and don't fight things or try to make certain things happen, then we can be quiet enough to listen to the rose of the heart. But we continue to make decisions every day of our lives. It's a necessary part of life. So we have an opportunity, many opportunities every day to turn our lives around. Because decisions are normal for us. It's the way we work in the world. We're not conscious of anything abnormal about that. Or are we, perhaps? Do we sometimes feel uncomfortable with something we've said or something that we've done, some way that we've acted? Do we pause enough to let the voice of the spirit spark through? And in addition to our own karma, our own microcosmic past, we also have influences through our ancestors and our bloodline, our inheritance that has affected us. And then there are the circumstances of our everyday life, which we've been collecting in our life up till now. So it's a very complicated fabric that we are weaving. And there is no blame, there is only opportunity. For our ultimate purpose in life is to awaken the sleeping divine spark that smolders in our heart sanctuary. By gaining insight into the actual situation of our lives, we can experience firsthand how it affects us and decide whether or not we want to go along with it or if we want to try to change it. By recognizing that we are not bound by this three-dimensional world And by knowing that there is an alternative, we can recognize the longing for salvation that has probably burned within us for a very long time. By developing a true longing for release from the prison of our limited consciousness, we can open our hearts and allow the rosebud to unfold and a new consciousness to develop. By being willing to look at ourselves objectively, we can gain self-knowledge in two ways, both knowing ourselves as the imperfect personalities that we are, being willing to recognize that and trying to neutralize that, and also seeing the potential that we have through the rose heart to connect to the divine essence, to what we can become. With this information and with an intention to follow this possibility, we can enter into the process of self-surrender to the remnant of the divine within us, to the rose heart, to the spirit spark atom. The divine radiations the divine radiations attracted by the awakened spirit spark atom can then fill our microcosm with its purifying power and raise our vibration, and working from within to return our microcosm to its original divine state of consciousness, its original vibration in harmony with the divine, with the essence. All this information, as we said earlier, is contained in the universal wisdom, which has been offered to humanity and expressed in many different ways throughout the ages in all the Gnostic spiritual traditions, examples being Buddhism, the Chinese mysteries of Lao Tzu, the Egyptian mysteries of Hermes Trismegistus, Christianity, and carried also by the Cathars in the 13th century in southern France and by the Rosicrucians in the 17th century. And now we'll take a quick look as it was carried and expressed through the Hindu sacred text of the Bhagavad Gita.
And so we'd like to conclude this talk with a wonderful allegory known to many, the story of Arjuna on the battlefield from the Bhagavad Gita, which is a special text enclosed in the epic Hindu narrative of the Mahabharata. The story is symbolic, as are all stories in the universal wisdom tradition, showing us steps on the journey from the natural soul being to an immortal soul being, a being with a vibration that is able to merge into the divine essence. So Arjuna symbolizes the individual seeking spiritual liberation. In this segment of the narrative, he's approaching a battle for his kingdom in a chariot driven by his divine advisor, Krishna. During the course of the story, Krishna offers the guiding voice of wisdom, urging him towards spiritual evolution. So Arjuna finds himself confronted by a formidable army that he recognizes as friends and relatives, individual he hesitates to engage in battle. Expressing his reluctance to Krishna, he voices his inability to fight against those he holds dear. Krishna provides a profound perspective, revealing that these apparent adversaries are actually reflections of Arjuna's own inner struggles, obstacles he must confront to attain a deeper connection with Atman, the divine essence residing within each one of us. As such, the impending battle symbolizes the internal conflict between our ego-driven desire and our higher spiritual calling. Despite his reservations, Arjuna must confront this challenge head-on. In essence, the path to victory involves conquering oneself through self-surrender, a crucial step in fulfilling our life's purpose. This dynamic illustrates one of life's paradoxes, the necessity of surrender in order to conquer.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed it. If you wish to support us in reaching more people, like our posts, rate us with 5 stars on iTunes, leave a positive comment where you can, or share our content on your social media.